Grace and peace are yours in abundance in your knowledge of God and your Savior, Jesus Christ. God's word for us on this day of resurrection is taken from the 28th chapter of Matthew, where again at the 5th verse we hear, "But the angel said to the women, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you.' So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy, and ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, 'Greetings.' And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, 'Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me.'" This is God's word. Some of the most impressive structures on earth are or contain tombs. The Taj Mahal, the pyramids of Egypt, Westminster Abbey, and that's just getting the list started. But there is one tomb that overshadows any of these others in significance. A tomb that ironically can no longer be located with absolute certainty. A tomb just outside of Jerusalem, owned by a man named Joseph of Arimathea. This tomb contained the body of Jesus of Nazareth on Friday, but on Sunday, it was empty. The other tombs, for all of their tons of limestone, marble, or granite, are silent testimonies to the power of death and its power over people. When archaeologists or grave robbers first opened the pyramids, for example, they found the bodies of dead pharaohs. But when the women came to anoint the body of Jesus, they found the stone rolled away and the tomb empty, because Jesus had triumphed over death. Empty is usually a negative word. An optimist may view a cup as half full, while a pessimist sees it as half empty, but when something is completely empty, what do you do with it? Your gas tank is on empty. Not good. If someone calls you empty-headed, that's not meant as a compliment. But on this Sunday, empty is gloriously positive. Empty is everything. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. That place is empty now, because Jesus lives. Listen again to the words of the angel. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Indeed, before the fact, Jesus had said that he would be delivered into the hands of sinful men, that he would be crucified, and on the third day rise. Jesus had called his shot. The resurrection was God the Father's seal of approval on Jesus' mission of rescuing us. The price Jesus paid to cancel our debt, accepted. Now, even our most extreme enemy, death itself, is defeated. And the Apostle Paul expressed it like this, writing to the Thessalonians. He said, we believe that Jesus died and came back to life. We also believe that through Jesus, God will bring back those who have died. They will come back with Jesus. No one can think of their own death without some fear or anxiety if the grave is, in fact, the end of everything. If it is simply the end, humanity is no better than the leaf on the tree that grows for a little while, then shrivels, drops to the ground, and dies. The gospel, though, the good news that changes everything, maybe we really ought to call it the great news, is that Jesus died and came back to life. The resurrection is genuine. History and archaeology both support the emptiness of Jesus' tomb that Sunday morning. The Jerusalem authorities had a missing body problem on their hands. There is no record of anyone, anywhere, in any source, friendly or hostile, reporting that the tomb owned by Joseph of Arimathea was still occupied that morning of the first Easter. What all sources report is that it was empty. And yet, the empty tomb alone is not enough for faith. The empty tomb is like the envelope without the letter. The empty tomb by itself could never have sparked the birth of the Christian church. It was Christ himself. It was Jesus himself who filled that void with reappearances on numerous occasions. About 20 years after the first Easter, the Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Corinth, and he said in that letter, Christ died to take away our sins, as Scripture predicted. He was placed in a tomb. He was brought back to life on the third day, as Scripture predicted. He appeared to Cephas, the Aramaic name for Peter. Next, he appeared to the 12 apostles. Then he appeared to more than 500 believers at one time. Next, he appeared to James. Then he appeared to all the apostles. Last of all, Paul writes, he appeared also to me. And apart from all the eyewitnesses named in Paul's list, consider this. Something changed these poor, doubting, hiding disciples into believers, and not just believers, but people so transformed that they would willingly risk death for their convictions. Something changed the ages-old day of worship from Sabbath to Sunday. Something was so persuasive that it caused the enemies of Jesus to flip-flop and become followers. That something was nothing less than the truth that Jesus came back to life and interacted with people. For thousands of years now, Jesus' resurrection has stood as the very heart of this great news. Martin Luther once wrote, he who would preach the gospel must go directly to the resurrection of Christ, for this is the chief part of our faith. The women of that first Easter morning saw them first, the empty tomb, and their risen Lord, and their lives changed history changed. But please notice, twice in this account from Matthew, the women are told, do not be afraid. Once by the angel, and once by the Lord Jesus himself. What a great summary of the blessing of Easter. Jesus is alive, so you can put away your fear. The grave is not the end of everything after all. Jesus' resurrection changes the grave from a dead end into a doorway. It's not a final exit. It's an entrance into an unparalleled celebration. And not only does Jesus' resurrection remodel the grave, it also means that our own bodies will be remodeled. We confess this in our creeds. I believe in the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting. Just as Christ was raised physically from the dead, so will our bodies be raised. Our souls will be rejoined to resurrected bodies in the life of the world to come, in which we will run and jump and dance and embrace completely whole, totally restored, a perfectly tuned physical body is one of the promises of Easter. And because Jesus rose, and because Jesus is alive, he can come to you and me. And he does come to you. He comes to us here and now in words that raise believers to new life. He comes to us here and now in the caring words and actions of our fellow Christians. And do you realize what that means? Church buildings may be empty today, but the church is filling the world. God's risen people are filling the world. And wherever we are, a living Lord goes with us. Do not be afraid. He is risen, just as he said. Would you please pray with me? Lord God, Heavenly Father, on this Easter Sunday, on this day of your Son's resurrection, we pray that his complete victory over death and the grave would remove every fear from our hearts, and that we would simply celebrate the victory that has been shared with us. We pray this in the name of Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.